Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You've seen it in the news recently with a number of job losses and also companies filing for insolvency and bankruptcy here in Singapore. Well, it's not unique to Singapore alone. In fact, many countries themselves have started to see also rising pressures on many of their businesses, both small and large. And according to Euler Hermes, based on their insolvency index, this could actually start to rise in what they call a potential insolvency time bomb. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Ms. Françoise Huang, who is the senior economist for the Asia Pacific region at Euler Hermes. She joined us all the way from Paris, France, to talk about their insolvency index and what it means for the Asia Pacific region. Françoise, thank you so much for joining us today, and hope you and your loved ones are in good health out in France. Good afternoon.
Hi, JP. Thank you very much for having me. I'm all good here in Paris.
So first off, it's interesting that Euler Hermes has an insolvency index. I mean, I guess as a trade financing heavyweight, it's something that you guys track. But can you help us understand how Euler Hermes was able to gauge these potential insolvencies in the next 2 years and how you arrived at 35%?
So, as you mentioned, indeed, given our business, insolvencies is something that we monitor very closely and something that we have been monitoring for many years now. So we developed this global insolvency index, looking at nearly 50 countries across the world, which represents 85% of global GDP. So it's pretty representative of which economies are important at the global scale. And of course, the framework of this study could have changed over the past years and decades according to the data quality we get from each country. But we work around that and we analyze on a regional, global and also country level the trends of insolvencies. And you have mentioned that at the moment, the forecast we have for the coming 2 years is a 35% increase at the global level. What we take into account when we forecast, simply put, there is one pretty quantitative approach where we take into account macroeconomic variables, including, well, the most obvious one, GDP, looking at the economic activity of a country. But we also take into account, for example, indicators linked to financial conditions, payment behaviors, etc. So on the one hand, we have this quantitative approach. And on the other hand, it may happen that for some countries, we do some ad hoc adjustments, which can be based on regulatory changes, whether it's, for example, the government decides to change how insolvencies and bankruptcies are accounted for, and some fiscal and monetary policy support measures, etc. The group has many branches in many countries across the world, so it also enables us to have an on-the-ground vision on what's happening and, on what's happening with companies. So we have these dual quantitative and ad hoc adjustments approach when we do our forecasting for insolvencies. So for this year, we talk about 2 years. So by the end of 2021, we expect global insolvencies to have increased by 35% compared to the end of last year. Why do we communicate on a two-year perspective? Because COVID-19, the global pandemic, is still an unprecedented shock to the global economy. And in response to that, many governments across the world have also put in place unprecedented sizes of policy support to try and mitigate the impact of the pandemic. Coupled to that, we also have some courts that were not working because of the lockdown earlier this year that led to some insolvencies not being recorded. So we expect that the first half of this year, official data suggests that insolvencies have been declining. So for us, it was a bit incomplete to just talk about what insolvencies would do in 2020. And that's why we take a two-year perspective. And especially we think that insolvencies are likely to increase more sharply in the first half of this year.
You know, Françoise, I'm glad we're talking because I wanted to ask you this as an economist that focuses on insolvencies. You know, there's been so much stimulus and support thrown at the COVID-19 downturn, but in effect, really, industries are facing deep structural issues and downsizing. My question to you is, how effective is stimulus really in offsetting some of these insolvency pressures that we're seeing? If it's deep and structural in nature, how effective has stimulus really been?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting question, and you're completely right to point this out. In most cases, these policy measures for sure are likely to be supportive in the short run and for as long as they are still in place, regardless of what sectors or size of companies. I think it's fair to say that they have been effective, at least at the macro level, to ease financial conditions, to delay some repayment of debts that were necessary. And sometimes also they were tax deferrals. So at least in the short term, I would say that there is definitely an impact. But I think there are two things to consider going forward. The first one is when will these supportive policy measures be withdrawn? And especially, we think that any premature withdrawal of supportive policy measures could mean that insolvencies will increase by even more than what we're currently forecasting. And the second thing is that there might be some longer-term consequences. Basically, the risk of these policy support measures being put in place for too long could be to, for example, prop up zombie companies in some sectors or some areas where the company should have, in a structural perspective, maybe gone bankrupt. So this is more of medium to long run consequence and risk of these policy measures maybe trying to sue things and delay the insolvencies materializing. So at this stage, we do think that the policy measures are effective, but in the medium to long run, it might actually pose some structural risks.
All right. So, Francois, let's talk about one country that ranks high among insolvencies in the Asia-Pacific. And there are high hopes, though, that China will be able to mount a sustainable recovery in part from the relative success in containing the virus. We've seen it in the PMI figures, some signs also that certain industries are starting to recover. But Euler Hermes is foreshadowing that China will see the highest insolvencies among the Asia-Pacific region. Can you help us make sense of how these potentially high insolvencies coincide with a rosier or more optimistic economic outlook for China? Can these two things actually exist? And won't a high insolvency rate eventually weigh on an economic recovery?
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with this, as you say, rosier outlook that we have for China. Actually, at Euler Hermes as well, our forecasts for China are comparatively less negative, let's say, than the rest of the world. And we actually also identify China as being one of the economies that is leading the global economic recovery post the initial shock of COVID-19. But as you say, indeed, we have a relatively strong number of insolvencies increase for the coming 2 years at around 40%, which is slightly above what we have at the global level. I think there are maybe two things to take into account. The first one is that although right now China is indeed driving the global recovery, being the first economy to have been hit by the pandemic and hence also the first that controlled it and restarted its economy, I think comparatively speaking, actually, Chinese policymakers are not putting in place stimuli and policy supports as strong as other economies, whether if it's on the fiscal side or the monetary side. And hence, also, we expect Chinese policymakers to be gradually withdrawing stimulus and policy supports in the coming quarters. And the second thing is that actually, in the past few years, the growth rate in insolvency in China has been particularly strong. For example, in 2017 and 18, the growth rates for these years were around 70%. But that didn't mean that the macroeconomic context was negative. Quite on the contrary, actually. But it was actually due to some regulatory changes, some willingness from authorities there to clean up the number of zombie companies. So I think, yeah, one thing to take into account when you see this relatively high growth rate for China is that there has been some regulatory changes in the past few years. That means that mechanically the number of insolvencies is already higher.
Now let's talk about Singapore, which according to Euler Hermes' Insolvency Index, trails China only in terms of future insolvencies. Why is this the case? And what do you think this will spell for Singapore's economic outlook?
Yeah, again, for Singapore, the insolvencies numbers are also to take with a small pinch of salt. The reason is that with the size of Singapore's economy and the number of companies that can be found in Singapore compared to other larger economies means that the growth rates in Singapore are just more volatile. I don't know if this makes sense, but just an increase from 1 to 2 may mean that the growth rate is 100%, the number of insolvencies is doubling, but actually the base is so low that it means that the growth rate is just mechanically higher. So that's part of behind why Singapore has comparatively such a high growth rate in insolvencies in the coming 2 years compared to other economies. That being said, it's obviously not the full explanation of this increase of insolvencies because we do have relatively negative growth outlook for Singapore this year. So in terms of GDP growth, our forecast stands at -5.1% in 2020, or given the strong exposure of Singapore to external trade and also to the services sector, and also given that the relatively stringent and long lockdown that was put in place with the circuit breaker, especially if we compare to ASEAN peers. So we have a measure, actually, a stringency index, and that is what I base the comparison on. In Singapore, the lockdown was longer and more stringent than, for example, in Malaysia, Thailand, or Indonesia. So that explains why we have more negative GDP growth forecasts for this year, as the economy was put on pause for longer. And going into next year, as Singapore, but also the rest of the world, the global economy, Singapore's trading partners gradually reopen, we can, and also along with the strong policy support put in place by Singapore's government, we can start to see an economic recovery going into next year. Our GDP growth forecast for 2021 stands at plus 4.5%. But in terms of return back to normal, we don't really see a full return back to normal to pre-crisis levels of economic activity before early 2022.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the knock-on effects from these insolvencies. If this region, the Asia-Pacific that is, if we have to brace ourselves for higher insolvencies, what follow-on risks does it pose for both labor and unemployment and also the banking sector that might have to absorb some of these insolvency risks?
Yeah, well, this is obviously we look at Asia Pacific here, but it's something that is also common to all economies across the world.
Right.
But yeah, you're right to point out insolvencies will automatically lead to, and just more broadly speaking, the COVID-19 crisis is leading to increases in unemployment, in job losses. Across all the main economies that we look at closely in the region, unemployment rate will shoot up this year, and some will continue to increase next year. In a similar sense, and what we're looking for insolvencies, this insolvencies time bomb, we might have insolvencies coming up next year, which could also lead to job losses next year. And following that, it will take a few years before these unemployment rates come back to the pre-COVID-19 levels. Some economies, actually, the forecasts are not as bad as others. For example, maybe for South Korea, which managed the epidemic relatively early on, and given also the structure of its economy and the sectors. But broadly speaking, most main economies of the region, it will take a few years for the unemployment rate to come back to the pre-crisis level. And on the banking side, it's also something that's among the list of our concerns when we look at the more medium-term impact. Because you're right to point out, if the insolvencies increase, obviously that could imply pressures banks' asset quality. And something also that we want to think about is that given the current context of strong monetary easing, there has been more responsibilities and extra effort asked from banks to help the economic recovery. So banks are actually taking more on even more loans and potentially even more risks in the medium to long term. This is also something you're right to point out, is the risk that is brought on by global pandemic and the increase in insolvencies. We have done actually a more precise study for China, and we expect, for example, problematic loans, including non-performing loans or loans that could very soon become non-performing. We expect more than doubling of these loans by the end of 2021.
Indeed, it seems that insolvencies, job losses, and all these economic pressures seem to be more and more intertwined than we actually think. I'd like to thank Ms. Françoise Huang, who is the senior economist for the Asia-Pacific region at ULRMS. I hope you and your loved ones continue to stay in good health and stay safe in these very uncertain times.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.